Greetings. This is Azuwish Talk Radio, broadcasting live deep within the earth in a remote location at the base of Mount Adams, Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. Trout Lake is a little town where the men are strong and the women are good-looking and, well, the children, most of them have been abducted. But anyway, I'm James Gillen, your host, and we have quite a show for you tonight. Unfortunately, Craig Simmons, our guest that we had lined up for the show, had some unforeseen thing he had to take care of, and he can't make it, so we're going to reschedule him. But there's a lot to talk about anyway. And we've also have a lot of people here. Some of the speakers from the convention that we just held are here. And some of the good news is on our website, my nephew just actually loaded up a lot of the photos from the conference. So if you go to eseti.org, and ECETI.org, and then scroll down and click on new photos, you'll be able to see what you missed July 4th, the July 4th weekend, or actually 6 through 8. But there's some amazing photographs. You can see the fields were just full of wall-to-wall orbs. We had huge cylinder ships, pictures of them taken hovering over the mountain. There was quite a few metallic ships taken, pictures of them. And people saw all kinds of ships. And basically, if you didn't see a ship, you weren't paying attention, you know, so, which is what happened with some of our guests. Actually, some of the guests at the conference were very busy singing, and which is great. I mean, they all got together, and everybody was singing out in the field and having fun, and we had somebody that was playing every song you could imagine from the 60s on up. But, you know, the bottom line is everybody had a good time and had fun, but the people that were singing weren't really looking at what was going on over their heads, which was quite amazing. But we filmed quite a bit of it. We haven't put the video up. We're still working on the video. I'm finally capturing the 70 hours of footage we have of video and putting that together, and we're going to put some of it up on the site, but I have video I didn't even know I shot. I shot this massive plane coming over spraying chemtrails, and the thing disappeared, and it went into a cloaking program and disappeared, but you could still see the chemtrail. But what's amazing is these rods, these big long light spears, or they weren't even spears, they were very long like a rod shape, went flying up from the ground and went around the plane, over the plane, and it was amazing. And shortly after that, this something strange happened with the chemtrails. They're all kind of vacuumed up into this giant, like, tornado cloud and then disappeared. So it's pretty amazing. Those photographs that where it got kind of vacuumed up and disappeared are on the website as well. So you can check those out. But actually, the we've got all kinds of footage now. We're finally downloading. I have Carrie here who's a wonderful help, and he's helping me get all these downloaded. And we just have incredible footage we didn't even see that I didn't even know I filmed. There's UFOs, there's paranormal things, there's rods, you name it, everything's going on. And we caught it on video, so hopefully we'll be able to get those up on the site soon. There is a section where you can see some of the video on the site as well if you just click on the video section. But anyway, the pictures from the conference, the wall-to-wall orbs are up. There's some amazing footage down there. You'll see one of the pictures of the orbs. You actually see me standing there. And I was trying to get the people to be a little goofy and have fun, you know, and just really enjoy themselves, because that's what brings the light spheres. And so I picked a big dandelion flower, and I put it over my head, and I was laughing, and I said, this is my orb antenna. You know, this draws the orbs. And sure enough, right after I did that, this huge orb covered my entire head, which is golden, and then right above the antenna was another little orb sitting right, you know, just above my head. And then I picked two dandelion flowers and put it up above my head, and I said, okay, now this calls the Martian orbs, and we're just joking around, everybody's laughing, and we call it the Mickey Mouse orb. But sure enough, right above my head appears this orb, and it had two little Mickey Mouse ears on it, like it had its own antenna. And so this shows that these things are interactive, they are intelligent, they are picking up our thoughts, and the more joyous and fun-loving, and the more innocent we can become and have an open mind, loving heart, the more they come and play with us. Another thing, you know, there's a lot of disclaimers about orbs saying they're dust spots or that they're water spots or, you know, they have all kinds of different disclaimers out there. But the problem is that we have cameras taking pictures before and after, you know, the events, and we have people all standing in a circle calling on the orbs, meditating and toning, and there's nothing there, and all of a sudden the whole field just fills with orbs, and nothing's changed. The atmosphere is the same. There's no wind. There's no rain. You know, there's nothing to create this phenomenon. And we also have just amazing pictures indoors. During the conference building was wall-to-wall orbs. They were everywhere. And so we would have the speakers, you know, and the speakers panel actually sitting up there. And before we got started, there weren't any orbs. And once we got going, there's orbs everywhere around the speakers. So it's obvious they come and go at will. And when something's going on and something they like or want to inspire and assist, because these are intelligent beings, they show up. And the people that are enlightened and on the path, they show up around them a lot more. It seems as though that the children are the best ones to attract the orbs. I have some more pictures that are coming up that looks like the movie Mimsy, where these kids are out there playing and these orbs appear to them and they light up their faces and they surround their bodies with light. It's just amazing. But, you know, it looks like something out of a movie, but these are just straight shots. They haven't been doctored. Nothing's been done to them. You know, they're just straight right off the camera. On another bizarre note, how many people, let's say, listen to Coast to Coast? Because on Wednesday night, I thought it was amazing. Stan Friedman did his usual debate with Michael Shermer, who is the skeptic. And I was just totally amazed at how this skeptic, you know, is debating on UFOs, and supposedly he's, you know, supposed to be this expert in the field. And I wonder, you know, these people that have PhDs, how did they learn about UFOs? I mean, UFOs aren't taught in college. I mean, they haven't experienced a UFO. They haven't seen a UFO. These guys have not. They don't know anything about UFOs, and they don't teach UFO in college. So how did these people become experts? This is what we're trying to figure out. I mean, they have no experience, no data whatsoever, you know. And, you know, although Stan Friedman did a great job, and he has done the research, and he has looked into the field, you know, these other debunker guys, I'm trying to figure out what their agenda is, because, you know, basically anybody that's not brain dead or, you know, that has lost all reasoning faculty whatsoever, you know, you'd have to be in that category not to realize what's going on this planet, because we're seeing UFOs everywhere right now. You know, and he was making statements like there's no pictures, there's no photographic evidence, there's no clear photos. Want to see the clear photos, all they have to do is go to our website again and pick up Wendell Stevens' presentation. Colonel Stevens is Air Force retired. He's got photos around the world, very clear photos of craft, metallic craft, every kind of craft you can think of. Most of the ships that we're seeing are actually light ships. You don't see them with your physical eye, but you do pick them up with the cameras because they're out of our frequency. They're higher dimensional, very spiritually and technologically advanced beings. But we do occasionally get a metallic craft here, and we do get structure, and some of these ships, you know, we've taken look like giant cruisers. They look like aircraft carriers in the sky. So that's kind of a done deal. Again, I said we're downloading all of this hours and hours of footage that we have of these UFOs landing, morphing, flying over straight sheer cliffs, moving off the top of the mountain on down, down glaciers, off sheer lava cliffs, down giant lava fields, something that no vehicle, no snowmobile, nothing could do. It's impossible. These aren't helicopters. You'd hear a helicopter. The mountain's 13 miles away, and these are putting out immense light fields. I mean, the candle power is just unmeasurable of the lights that they're putting out. And some look a quarter mile to a half mile wide. I mean, these lights. And people go, well, that's a campfire, you know. I go, well, the campfire's moving. You know, there's about six of them moving all over the mountain. So, you know, there's all kinds of excuses for this phenomenon going on. But, you know, if we just applied a little rational mind to this and looked at the evidence, it's very obvious that UFOs are everywhere. And, you know, the real disclosure, again, is coming from the skies. There's no way it can be stopped. It's part of Earth's destiny to unite with the greater family of man, and it's well on its way, and it's going to increase exponentially. On our website, too, we're downloading Google videos around the world of just incredible sightings and video being taken. You know, United Kingdom has them flying around there quite a bit now. The crop circles are catching the UFOs, actually making the crop circles. There's a lot of footage of that coming in. Mexico has literally thousands of ships in the air and footage of these ships flying over Mexico. You know, I can go on and talk about the footage around the world, and just, you know, the footage we're going is pretty, you know, that we're getting here is undeniable. It's just, there's so much footage. You know, to me, I just have to ask somebody who keeps trying to be a debunker, what is their agenda? You know, who is paying them to try to keep this cover-up going, which really is so ridiculous because, you know, Time CNN polls say that well over 86% of the people believe UFOs do exist and there's a government cover-up. So the cover-up failed. The people out there that are still trying to be skeptics really don't want to learn. They don't want to look at the facts. They don't want to open up to a greater reality. They want to remain in their present understanding, or they have some agenda. That's the bottom line. So they're either being paid to continue with their disinformation program, or they have some other agenda, or they're just suffering from cognitive dissonance. You know, they can't accept any other reality outside of their own little box and don't want to. But I think it's amazing, you know, if we sent them these pictures and, you know, literally thousands of photos that Wendell Stevens has gathered and some of these other researchers around the world, along with multiple witnesses at the time. You know, we've got Air Force base commanders. We've got pilots from every walk of life, you might say. We've got physicists, you know, astrophysicists, biophysicists, plasma physicists. All of these people have been to the ranch, have seen these UFOs. You know, we have their testimony on record. We have tribal police, the regular police, the forest rangers. I mean, it just goes on and on. Long history of evidence. And for people like Michael Shermer, I don't know how they can even continue to try to be debunkers and actually keep a straight face. I mean, because I find it humorous just watching them try to continue with the charade, you know, the charade and all the other nonsense. But anyway, it's on Coast to Coast if you want to listen to it. It's just beyond ridiculous that they'd even continue to try to pull this nonsense. A lot of the other debunkers just seem to be dropping off by the wayside. They're realizing that they're going to have major egg on their face, you know, here in the near future. But I think if a UFO landed down, abducted them, you know, stuck a popsicle in their mouth and dropped them off again as evidence, they still couldn't handle the truth, and they would still say there was no evidence. You know, and people like this really do not want to know the truth. They don't want to bring this out. But we'll just leave that in the file. Now, on Friday night, he had the moronic story, and which was kind of amazing. I think they should have taken the moron stories and put it on Wednesday night because that's really where it belonged. Because I think the debunking debate actually belonged in that category. Stanton Friedman did a great job, but as far as the debunker, I think he should have come on Friday night and told his story. That was the story. That was the time for the moronic story. But anyway, I thought it was pretty funny watching this whole thing. It's just amazing, and I think these people are just shooting themselves in the foot, you know, over and over again. But again, if you want to see some of the evidence of the paranormal activity up here, and if you want to see the some of the UFO photographs we have and some of the footage, it's all on eseti.org. It's www.eseti.org. Now, another awesome thing that's happening right now, for those who don't know yet, the movie's out, Contact the Movie. It's James Gillen and his story, which is me. And the movie is out. It's an awesome movie, if I don't say so myself. To me, to say that, I'm very critical. You know, even of my own stuff, I'm very critical. And I don't get too excited about my own stuff. It's just, you know, I'm kind of pretty hard on myself anyway with a lot of things I do. but knowing I could always do something better. But the people that worked on this, John Savage, Chase Savage, you know, Michael Knight, just the way this came together, and with all of the other people that stepped in, the best of the best in every category, the special effects, the documentary, and the way it was laid out is just awesome. And it's very important to get this message right now, because it doesn't just cover contact, it covers the future, and it covers the environment and what's getting ready to happen with the Gulf Stream and some of the other things that are going on. But it just gives a very clear message that, look, you know, the Gulf Stream is closing down. We are being hit by a solar maximum that is going to go off scale. And we've got some very serious issues in our future, and this greater family of man is going to assist us as much as they can. But some of these things that are getting ready to manifest need to manifest, because we've been very ignorant concerning the way we've treated, you know, humanity and the earth right now, and we've forgotten about the unity of consciousness and the unity of life and how everything is connected. So nature is going to be our best teacher coming up here real soon, and I think we're going to have some hard lessons concerning, you know, the way we've been living out of disharmony with each other and the planet. So again, this story is very important. It's a very timely message. It's a very important message, and it's done incredibly well. I mean, I was amazed myself at the job these guys did, and you know, people asked me to explain, you know, what is this? And I said, well, this is like Al Gore goes interdimensional. You know, it's a pretty amazing documentary. But it covers, you know, it goes out into space. It covers just about everything, and it talks about what's going on. But it covers our ancient history, where we're moving, and where we need to make some course corrections and the path we're headed. I think that's about it for the news. There's all kinds of news going on. I mean, I guess you have to do a little prayer for the people in Iraq. They've got no water. I mean, they're turning their taps on and nothing's coming out. And they're having like 117, 100, I think it's even, somebody even said it went up to 127. Don't quote me, but they're having a heat wave beyond imagination. And something's happened to the water. Either they just don't have access to any more water, it's drying up, or something's happening with the water system altogether. I don't know the whole story on that. I'll have to get to it. But hopefully we can say a little prayer for Iraq, and maybe we can get these troops to start carrying water, you know, and do a little humanitarian work over there. You know, basically, we're going to be needing our troops back here pretty soon, considering the earth changes and a lot of things getting ready to manifest. But, you know, to put that story aside, I mean, it's pretty amazing what's happening right now, and I think we're just getting ready for all kinds of social, political, and amazing changes, followed by the earth changes themselves. So it's time to put your ear to the ground and listen, and listen to nature and go within and see what your inner guidance is telling you, and act on it. You know, get with the program and get moving. I can go further into that later. I know at the conferences. Now, we've got an amazing conference coming up. You can go to the site, too, eseti.org, and check out the Shalimar Productions and the Shasta Conference coming up. That's coming up. I'll be speaking, I believe, on Friday. I don't have a calendar here, but I could look it up. But we're going to be going ahead and showing a lot of this information, a lot of the photos, and actually showing the movie there in Shasta at this coming event. So you can go to the website and click on, you know, what's new or what's coming, and it'll tell you about that event. And that's followed by a couple other smaller appearances for some private groups. And then I'll be speaking at the Bay Area Expo, and that's towards the end of August. So, you know, look on your calendars for that. You know, that's coming up in the very near future, and hopefully we can see you all there. And you know, when we get to the Bay Area Conference, George Norrie is going to be at the Bay Area Conference, so I think it'd be a great idea to ask George, when you coming up to the ranch, you know, because what's really interesting is he keeps saying he's coming. We seem to be trying to work on a program where we can do a live broadcast, and I think we're very close to arranging that. So if enough people, you know, you can type in George at, you know, coasttocoastam.com. And again, it's George at coasttocoastam.com, and say, hey, George, when you coming out to the ranch, the East Eddy Ranch? And hopefully that might light a little fire under them and you know, get this thing going, you know, get it moving. But again, that upcoming conference is it's called ETs, Spirit, New Science and New Technologies, and it's August 9th through 12th. And I think I'm on at the 10th, so I'll be there from the 9th through the 12th, and we'll have the movie there as well. We'll be showing it, and we'll have the new DVDs available as well. Now, the other event is not working. Well, we have it up anyway, but we don't have a link on there. But the other event is the 9th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo. That's August 25th through the 26th. And that's at the DoubleTree Hotel in San Jose. But if you just go on your site and type in, you know, Bay Area UFO Expo and hit search, it'll pop up, and that'll give you all the speakers and let you know about that event. And so we'll also be showing the movie there, along with an incredible slideshow of the things that we didn't get in the movie, which are just more for people that are very serious about this event. We're going to go into other dimensions, everything there, and show some just incredible photographs and footage of what I'd call like an interdimensional experience. So it should be fun. We're going to be doing the same thing at both conferences. So anyway, again, you can go to eastetty.org and check out the conferences, and the DVD is available too right now. And that's about it for the news and what's up, you know, what's on the agenda here. The hopefully our guest isn't coming on, so I've got some other guests out there. I have Joel Garbin from the Free Energy Movement, and he'll talk about his program. And I've also have the guests, and so I wanted to bring the guests on because we've had some amazing nights here the past few nights. We've had incredible ships come over, do all kinds of maneuvers, and I think it's more important that you hear it from the guests rather than just hear it from me all the time. I think it's much, much more important that people have their own experience and see things for themselves, do their own investigation. You know, like Einstein said, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. And there are a lot of armchair investigators that haven't come out here. They've made a lot of comments, you know, from their chairs, and they haven't done the investigation or the research and looked at the footage, but they have their opinion, you know, and their opinion is about as valuable as the research they've done on the ranch and their attendance here. So anyway, we'll set that aside. The hopefully we can call the other line out there and somebody will answer. Can you call that other number and we'll try to get a line out to the field?
Hello, James.
Okay.
This is Kerry.
Hello, Kerry.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Great, buddy.
Are you enjoying your stay here?
I'm having a blast. I've been having a blast. I've been here every day I could possibly be here for the last month. Can't get enough.
Yeah. So have you been bored?
Absolutely not. It's a beautiful evening out tonight, and expecting another beautiful night out here with lots of activity.
Now, almost every night you've been here, you've seen who knows how many ships. Could you talk about some of the ships you've seen and maybe just how many you've seen since you've been here?
Yeah, I've probably been here 13 nights total. I haven't gone a single night without seeing ships. I've seen as few as, you know, like one or two on a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights, well, during the 4 days of the conference, the 777 conference, 4 days and four nights, I saw at least 60 craft during that period of time. And, you know, I've spent nights with Night Watch when you're out here with the Sky Watch. And, you know, one night we had like 25 fly over, and at least I think about six of them flared up when you signaled them with the laser.
And they made anomalous turns and things showing very clearly they weren't satellites.
Well. Oh, absolutely. I mean, when they make you know, a turn around a star, just absolutely not. And also when the sun has just gone down and you have one of these things that's cruising over into the western quadrant, If they were high like a satellite, they would be reflecting the sun. But, you know, these guys can brighten up and then they go dim where they should be bright.
Mm-hmm. And later on at night, they're actually in the Earth's shadow. So they have their own light. They're not reflecting light at all. They're self-illuminated. So that would also eliminate satellites.
Oh, absolutely. They come in from the east after dark. And, you know, absolutely, they're self-illuminated. And they routinely brighten. Tremendously sometimes for us when we ask them to, mm-hmm. When we put that intent out, and they dim back down after saying hello.
Now, you got some footage on the mountain of looks like a doorway or some kind of a portal opening on the mountain.
Yeah, absolutely. Last Saturday, they opened the portal for me, and I stood there in awe and thanked them for letting me film that and see that. And they actually put an EVP on my camera.
Yeah, we all listened to that. Everybody was amazed listening to that. And now, what was strange about that? I think it was on one channel only.
Yeah, my camera is a very nice Sony hard drive digital camera, and it has a surround sound microphone, 5.1 channels on top. There was an airplane going overhead when this occurred, and of course the airplane is in, you know, all the channels. And had I made any noise, that my voice would also be in all of the channels. But the EVP was in the left channel only.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. And can you tell us what it said, what in the message?
Well, I'm standing there thanking them for this gift, letting me see this light. And this is after first light. So I'm watching this and thanking them. And the EVP says, in a whisper voice, it says, "Now that shows." And then there's a pause, and it says, "Hey." And then there's a pause, and it says, "Hi." And then there's a little pause, and it says, "Thank you, Carrie."
Now we all listened to that. Quite a few of us listened to that, and we all pretty much heard the same thing. And some of it's pretty clear. And you know, for that technology, now we got the sound of the mothership on the site the exact same way we were filming a mothership over Portland State University.
Right.
At 2:00 in the morning, and I asked them, "What are you doing over Portland State that late at night?" And they said, "Higher learning." You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But in filming the ship, they actually sent the sound of the ship to the recorder, and we didn't hear it.
Right.
But they opened a window up or something and actually transmitted it to the video recorder, and it came over the line, and that's how we got that sound, and you know, of the mothership itself, which was amazing.
Right.
But,
they have some method of directly doing electromagnetic signals onto wires. They just bypass the actual microphone and modulate the white noise on the wires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's who knows how they do it, but
yeah,
they definitely can transmit all the way from space. And
yeah,
I also know, too, is they can choose who they want to see them or not. And I know the people that have done their homework, their spiritual homework, they can see. They seem to see a lot more, but almost anybody that comes here can see the ship and see all kinds of activity.
Well, what I always say is check your ego at the gate, open your mind, and put love in your heart, and these beings will absolutely show you their magnificent, beautiful craft.
Now, when you came here, you were not a believer. As a matter of fact, you were fighting all this, weren't you? You were having problems, especially with the orbs and the other paranormal.
Yeah, just some of the fringe objects. You know, I'd had sightings since 81, and I had five of these light ships in my backyard in Texas over the lake, 100 yards away, light up one at a time, and they did this repeatedly over a 14-day period, like 10 times. And, you know, and I would ask them to do it again, and they would immediately do it again. So I've had experiences, but I have a skeptical, you know, I'm a scientist, and I have a little bit of skepticism. So, you know, I basically was pulled into full knowledge and understanding through the conference and everything that these beings gave to me as a gift that they showed me. I was given, you know, like private shows that no one else could see. They would buzz my ear and have me look out and basically kept me up most of the first night,
mm-hmm.
giving me private shows.
Yeah, plus seeing the speakers actually presenting all of this material, which later on became your own experience, was quite amazing as well.
Right. Well, and it was a synchronistic set of events where the people that I met when I got here were the exact people I needed to hear words from that put the speaker's words together like glue, and it just everything fell into place in a synchronistic fashion.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Everybody has a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
A piece of the pie, and bringing everybody together, you know, all the different scientists we had here and showing their piece of the puzzle was amazing, and it all came together. And
yes,
people walked away with a pie, you know, if they heard each story.
Right. It was an absolutely fantastic conference.
We'll have to do one again pretty soon here. I don't think I'll survive until next year to do another one. But
well, I know there's a lot of people here that were at the conference that want to do it again sooner than next year.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll definitely have a gathering up here, and we'll do maybe show the movie and then go out and have a little contact, you know, party out there and bring them in. Set something up. Now, is there anybody else out there that wants to come on the show that wants to talk about some of the things they've seen?
Well, I know we have Dean out here.
Okay.
And there's some new guests that I haven't actually met yet that Rip told me about want to speak.
Oh,
and,
yeah, the
and actually, Joel Garbin is also here.
Yeah, we'll put Joel on last because we're going to have Joel finish off and talk about what he's up to.
All right. Well, Dean's standing right next to me.
All right.
All right. Here's Dean.
Hi, James. How you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful out here. Watching the mountain as we speak and actually listening to your radio show, too.
Oh, great. You got it hooked up out there.
Yeah, we did. Got my laptop hooked up out here.
Well, that's great.
And so everybody's out here and enjoying that, and sun's kind of setting and watching the mountain. Another nice night up at the sanctuary.
So if I really screw up, I'm going to hear about it like in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
as I walk back out there, everybody's going to go, boy, you sure screwed up that show, didn't you?
Yeah, they'll be shaking their heads going, Jesus, what were you thinking?
Yeah. So last night, I guess we had a lot of activity as well. I know you witnessed a lot of that.
Yeah, we had, you know, we always get the high stuff that look like you call them, kind of like drunken satellites or kind of weaving around a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
Slowing up, speeding up, and then they change direction and that sort of thing. And then we had that real bright one. I think it looked like it was pretty much powered up the whole time it flew over, unless it was extra big or extra low or something.
And your wife was saying it looked like a spider. It looked like it had all these legs on it or something.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of, you know, a typical star has kind of like 4 points coming off it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it looked like to me. And the interesting thing is we came down from Seattle up there, and the night before last, we seen kind of the same thing. And it was kind of funny because it was my wife's birthday. And it was almost the exact same thing to a T. It came from the west, and it flew towards the east, and it was real bright like that. It was almost the exact replica of what we seen two nights ago.
I think it's funny because you'll call me up and go, "Hey, did you this huge thing came over?" You know, and you say when, I go, "Got it." You know?
Yeah. That's happened twice. You had those two that were flying side by side, and they both powered up literally at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen those two from actually 50 miles away as the bird flies down there.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that's a space station. The problem is we don't have two space stations up there.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't the shuttle. The timing was off, you know. So, you know, there's something. There's two big objects up there flying in from the north, you know, which were massive. And actually, I think the space station is on a totally different trajectory anyway.
Yeah, so, that definitely wasn't two space stations. Because the one flew by the other one. The other one was stationary, and one flew by it, and it went from a dead stop and started flying side by side, and then they both powered up.
Oh yeah.
And so
they did that for the Boeing engineers as well. And I know Allie from Boeing. She's been taking some, you know, marvelous pictures here over the. She's getting just all kinds of footage, and she's actually taken some at home now lately. A lot of people that go and make these photographs here, they make their connection, they go home, and then the ships are hanging around them at home.
She's getting
incredible footage of these ships, metallic ships, flying by planes, you know, commercial planes.
Yeah,
it's
just been, like you said, getting exponential, and it's really starting to heat up. And another thing is, let's see, last year we came down and we were taking pictures of the orbs. I went home and had my two boys stand in my front yard and start taking pictures. I said, lean your head back and think happy thoughts about orbs and stuff, and they just came in by the tons. And so that's been interesting, too.
You know, you really think about it, you know, how hard is that just to focus on something happy or loving or joyous and send that out and then, you know, ask for a contact or a connection? You know, if we kept doing that on a regular basis and let this thing spread out exponentially like we did that intention experiment on the Art Bell Show, you know, with like 15 million listeners, if we just keep doing this on a regular basis, I mean, we are going to have contact on a mass scale.
Yeah.
And it's going to be people's own experience. They're not going to have to wait for somebody to tell them that this is real, or wait for some organization or government to say, okay, yeah, we've been lying for the past 60 years because we've been back engineering the technology, but
yeah,
now we're going to tell you the truth. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, and I think it's all pretty much coming out, and especially the younger generation is really starting to grab hold and focus on what's going on, and so that's been good. My kids, I take them and try to educate them as much as I can, and that's been real good too. Hey, tell you what, I got Joel over here.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and I got Ronnie over here.
Okay, yeah, let me talk to these guys.
Gonna talk to those guys,
and then we'll put Joel on.
Okay, and then we'll put Joel on after Ronnie here.
Okay.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, James.
Hey, James.
Hello.
It's Ronnie.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Anything flying yet?
Nothing yet. It's still daylight, so
yeah.
I took about 1,000 pictures tonight, you know. You never know what shows up.
Yeah, have you gotten any orbs on your photographs yet?
Not yet. Maybe a little later tonight. I know that whole field is full of them. We were here last year and just took a couple shots right out in the middle of that field, and there was layers and layers and layers of orbs. And what was really cool was to the side of one of the pictures, and I think you've seen it, it was almost a group of orbs that were shaped in a form, almost humanly formed, which turned out pretty cool. I'm not sure if you've seen that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I saw some of your pictures were pretty awesome. I mean, I think you put them up on your website, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
What's your website?
Oh, our website is lanosmedia.com. That's LanosMedia.com. And just click on the expedition page, and it has our 2006 Skywatch here.
Great. And you guys play some awesome music. I mean, last time you were out playing, and I think I was in here doing the radio, so I missed a lot of the music, but you definitely have to save some for me when I get out there and break the drums and the guitars out and flutes and whatever else we got.
Well, most definitely. I think music has something to do with it. Something the music beats and everything kind of draws them in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got a big ceremonial drum, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, good.
You know, to bring that out and some of the other drums and see what we can drum up.
Right. But I heard last night, I talked to a few people last night, and they had a couple big power-ups last night, I guess.
Yeah, really big ones. I got them on film. So we're in the process of downloading this 70 hours of footage, you know, these ships morphing and turning into three ships back to one and, you know, flying off the top of the mountain. It's everything. It's amazing.
Right. There's something about that mountain, too. I mean, I talked to somebody earlier who had saw like six lights on that mountain. Last time we were here, I saw a bright brightness dead center of that mountain. It was just a huge bright light that was just there, just glowing like all night long.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no trail there or anything, really. It's not a campfire because we see these things move, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes. But there's definitely something in the middle of that mountain. There's some kind of a doorway or gate or... And, you know, we just went up there. We took a little expedition. Some of the people here today went up there, and they walked all over that area. There's nothing there.
Huh.
You know, Zach, we filmed it. You know, we were right in the area where that big door keeps opening up. All there is lava rocks. You know,
I wonder what that is.
You know, but somebody put a bunch of 4x4s and piled rocks around them, And it looks like they strung all these wires to each one to try to photograph what was going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it was. It looked like a government operation or something. And something came through there and snapped all the 4x4s at the base.
Really?
With just rocks around them to hold them up. And to do that would take phenomenal strength.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just snapped. I mean, they weren't cut. They weren't burned off. They were snapped off. So
was that today?
Yeah. And actually, it happened before when I was up there, and these other people saw the same thing. So I think whoever's gone up there and tried to do research, they just snapped off all their poles and said, you know, take it somewhere else.
Wow. Yeah, I remember one of the most significant things I've seen here was that triangle we saw, I don't know, was it last year, that flew overhead. That was...
Yeah, that was an amazing one.
Have you seen any of those lately?
We have. When the producers were here making the movie, we had two triangles come over, and one of them I got on film, and another one was really late at night, and I was in bed, but it was massive, and it flew over them and just parked. And they said they were staring at it, and then they kind of passed out or fell asleep, and then they woke up an hour later, and it was gone, and they don't know what happened in between.
Wow.
So,
I remember the one that we saw, it flew from behind, and it went straight for the mountain, but it was big, and it, as it flew over, it just, like, blocked the stars off above it. It had one red light in the front and two whites on the back.
Uh-huh. You know, these things are miles long. I mean, they're massive. They're definitely not anything we've back engineered. We don't have anything that big.
Right.
No, but, hey, is Joel on there?
Yeah. Hold on.
Hey, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, he's here. Hold on. Hey, nice talking to you.
Oh, yeah, you too. Come on again soon.
I will.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful night.
You know, my first big question is the soup done?
Well, it's getting there. You know, my 14-year-old daughter, Senna, was put in charge of making the pot of soup, which is, a pretty typical standby for me when I get up here. So she abandoned the scene there for the last few minutes, so I had to take over.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, I'm just kidding, kind of. But if there's a bowl around there when I come out, I might.
Yeah, well, it's always one of the gracious things about the gatherings up here, James, is that there's always communal meals going on and people sharing their stories and their food, so it really makes for a great time. So even if people didn't have a remarkable sighting, they'd surely have a good time regardless.
Oh, yeah, just the energy here. People are changed, you know, just by being on the land and you know, experiencing the energy. Now, you've seen quite a few ships up here, I know. But rather than going into all that, I'd really like to talk about what's new in the alternative energy field.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you asking. As you know, I'm the president of New Energy Movement, which is a nonprofit organization that's been established to educate about the need for urgent and serious funding for the research and development of new breakthrough energy technologies. And you were kind enough to permit me to be one of the speakers up here at your conference a few weeks ago, and it was really wonderful to see the reception that the audience provided and really embraced the message of new energy. Anyone who takes a look at what's going on our planet right now knows that we've got a lot of challenges that are facing us environmentally, geopolitically. The Iraq war is, good point there. The socioeconomic issues with regards to resource depletion and resource allocation around the planet. I mean, we have a lot of serious challenges right now. And it's no accident that people now are starting to stand up and be counted among the ranks of citizens who really want to promote and support the idea and the movement toward breakthrough energy technologies. It's timely. It needs to happen here soon. So we're just trying to marshal the citizen ranks as best as we can to become a very, very loud and just a tidal wave of wisdom is what I like to call it, toward getting us to a new energy era on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's people have no idea how serious this is. You know, a lot of people are just, you know, they go to work, they go to the little cubicle, you know, they get their morning newspaper, everybody tells them everything's fine, you know, they a little bit about Al Gore here and there, you know, but they're not really listening to the severity of the problem. And you know, with just the condition of the environment, you know, the pollution, the oxygen levels are falling rapidly, and we're pumping out more and more CO2 in there. You know, and like we talk about in the movie, you know, what's more important, you know, the almighty dollar or a breath of life?
Well,
you know, or, you know, the breath, you know, what's...
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Al Gore has done a wonderful job in helping to put a wedge to open up the American people's awareness, and not just here in the United States, but pretty much across the globe. People now are starting to really come to understand that humans are having a direct impact on our planet, on the biosphere at large, that nature is not so disconnected from our civilization that we can't have a heavy footprint on the Earth, because certainly we do, and I think more and more people are becoming aware of that. The whole idea about new energy is that energy itself is right at the core of all of these large global problems that we have. And we feel very strongly that by having breakthrough energy technologies that are shared globally, we have an incredible opportunity then to address these issues. Now, won't happen if we just have a technology come out and it just stays in one country or one region. It needs to be something that is shared. And that's a big part of our message, is that this is something where it needs to be available to every human on this planet, not something that just serves to enrich a select few and to mire them even deeper into the resources that they extract. This is something that the whole human family needs access to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing when you look at, a lot of the charts and graphs that you showed, you know, were a very, you know, incredible wake-up call. And I know people loved your presentation. And, you know, it was my honor to have you come up and present, actually. But
I think one of the things that people found very compelling when I showed a few statistics that were from the Energy Information Administration, that is the Statistics and Projections Agency of the Department of Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the EIA is responsible for putting together the projections for what the U.S. energy use will be and what the energy portfolio looks like. And the portfolio will be, you know, so much fossil fuel, so much nuclear, so much wind and biomass, etc. Well, I showed the statistics for 2005, which showed that about 86% of all of the U.S.'s energy needs are provided by fossil fuels, and that's oil, coal, and natural gas. Then there's some that's provided by nuclear energy, and maybe that's somewhere in the 15% range. Then there's some that are provided by the renewables, such as hydropower, which is the biggest source of our renewable energy right now. A very tiny little bit of wind and an almost insignificant amount of solar. And then there is a significant amount of energy derived from biomass, which would be essentially a combustion of renewable fuels that are coming from crops that are grown or from wood residue. And that would be things that are used to power maybe paper mills, chemical plants, things like that, as well as biofuels like ethanol and biodiesel. Well, when you look at the whole energy portfolio right now, and you see that 86% comes from fossil fuels, and only about 6% comes from renewable energy, and that's right now. That's right now in these current times. But then the Energy Information Administration projects 25 years from now to the year 2030, the exact same percentage of our energy is projected to come from fossil fuels. They'll still be 86%, except they say that within the fossil fuel portfolio, it shifts a little bit from oil to more coal. You know, which everyone knows that's even dirtier than what we got going on right now.
Now, who's writing these portfolios? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, but see, the question comes up. You know, how could they possibly make that projection? Certainly, there's got to be more. A larger bit of the portfolio is going to be contributed by the renewable options of wind, solar, biofuels, and hydropower. Well, the problem here is that it's not that the statisticians are ignorant about what's going on with renewable energy, and that there is definitely more renewable energy being added. The problem is that the base load is so hardwired into the standard conventional energy sources that it's extremely difficult even for the renewables to do anything more than just barely hang on to the added capacity. So as there's more of the population is building businesses, homes, etc., to even have the renewables be able to capture that slice of added demand is very, very hard. So we've got this huge amount of base load that's not being addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just crazy. I really think nature's going to rewrite that script, you know, because I don't think it's going to be business as usual, especially if we don't get some new leadership or some enlightened leadership in here to really see how serious this problem is and start turning this around.
Well, you're right. I mean, having another Katrina type of thing happen would be very crippling to us. And just statistically, those things are going to happen. Our energy grid, the way we generate and transmit electrical power, incredibly vulnerable to natural disasters. And I mean, that's totally aside from any type of sabotage or things like that, you know, people get really caught up in the whole thing about terrorism and all this. I mean, people hear that record played on and on and on whenever they pick up any piece of media. But any type of natural disaster could happen and really take out huge sections of our electrical grid. And we are very, very vulnerable. So one of the things that we foresee with the introduction of new energy technologies, breakthrough technologies, is a great opportunity to have something that ultimately becomes a home power module, where you would have your own energy generating device that could, let's say, interface with your circuit breaker. It would provide all of your electrical power needs. It would be decentralized, so you'd be off the grid. People could take these things as portable power packs, plug them into their electric car, they'd have power. Take them out to their campsite, and they'd have energy. So that's one of the promises that we see for these emerging energy technologies. So the grid would become obsolete, and all of those millions of miles of overhead power wires that we see everywhere, the electric jail, as one of my mentors, Brian O'Leary, refers to the grid system. That whole electric jail would disappear and no longer be a blight on our landscapes and no longer a source of the intense magnetic fields that are around those wires.
That would be
kind of a beautification process.
Now, the solar maximum as well that we're going to be hit by, they're saying by in 2010, the way these chrome mass ejects and flares are coming in, that we're probably going to lose our grid. So we're going to have to do some changes here, and very, very quickly we're going to start having to implement these new technologies.
It's a good point. You know, just as people became aware very recently about the vulnerability of our infrastructure for transportation, especially with bridges, and you look at the disaster that just happened in Minnesota here. Well, the same thing exists with our grid infrastructure. It's very, very vulnerable. In many areas, it's running over capacity. many other areas. You cannot keep up with the growth of this without using energy generation. That's very damaging to our environment. And nobody wants a coal-fired power plant in their backyard, that's for sure. And it's even more so when they talk about putting in a nuclear power plant. And unfortunately, the current administration has been pretty friendly to the ideas of putting in both a lot of new coal-fired power plants as well as nuclear power. I want to make you aware there's a project going in or is being heavily proposed and lobbied for down in the Palm Springs and Borrego Springs desert down in Southern California. It's called the Power Link Project. And what that would do is bring up a huge new transmission corridor through the most pristine part of the Southern California desert, and will totally despoil a wilderness area there that is a primary retreat for a lot of people who just want to get away from the crowded cities down there in Southern California and be able to really go out and have some peace of mind and really glory in the beauty of nature. And the proposal is to run this power corridor right through there. So there's a lot of activists who have gathered to oppose this down there, and proud to say that one of the strong supporters of New Energy Movement, who acts as our Southern California coordinator, he's one of the lead activists against that Power Link project down there. So one of the things that we're trying to make people aware of is that when you have one of these type of standard power projects going on where it's going to have a heavy imprint in your area, we need to start making more noise about looking for alternatives, clean alternatives that aren't based on this grid system and that aren't using the damaging coal-fired or natural gas-fired or nuclear power generation to generate the electricity. It's interesting that one of the most renowned Tesla experts on Tesla inventions, his name is Konstantin Meil. He's from Germany. He's actually down in Carlsbad, California, just this weekend, and he's having a workshop down there talking about the Tesla developments that he himself has been demonstrating, and has some working model of wireless transmission of electricity. So I was encouraging some of the people who are the activists trying to be a blockade against this Power Link project, encouraging them to go and become educated by Dr. Meil so they could start to understand some of the alternatives.
Yeah. Joel, we're out of time, so we've got to sign off. I'm going to have you back on the show again real soon, and we'll go more into that.
Oh, great.
And so we've got to sign off. We're a little over. So, again, thanks for coming on the show. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. Signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.